Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
Boy, there's a lot of pressure in life. There's all kinds of pressure that we face. There's pressure to provide for our families. There's pressure to care for other people. There's pressure to pay the bills. There's pressure to look after our health. There's pressure to clean the house. There's pressure to do the laundry, maintain the car, get things ready for winter, raise our kids, babysit our kids' kids, school, exams, career, courses, find a job, savings, retirement, buy a house, manage and maintain relationships, family pressures, sending money to family back home, caring for aging loved ones, pressure, pressure, pressure. All weighty. Aren't you encouraged this morning? You know what? There's another pressure. There's a pressure on couples. There's a pressure on couples who are dating. When are you getting married? There's a pressure on couples who have just got married. When are you having kids? There is a pressure on couples who have just had a kid to have another kid. Here's a word that I would think probably would be pretty close to a prophetic word. Give them a break. Give them a break. We have no idea of the pressure that we add with lighthearted comments that weigh... Anybody say amen back there? With lighthearted comments. But there is a girl that I want to talk about. I've been thinking about this girl who had a lot of pressure to get married. I mean, off the chart pressure. And not only to get married, to have kids. She was cute. She's kind. She's compassionate. She was a farm girl. She knew how to work. She knew how to cook. She was a catch. Today we're going to hear some of her story, but actually we're not going to start with her story. I'd like to talk a little bit about her soon-to-be father-in-law. He knows pressure. He's the one who her pressure came from. Get married and have kids. God had shown up to him and said, "You're going to be the father of many nations. And all the world is going to be blessed through you." But as of yet, he didn't have a baby. Well, he did have one with the maid. But that didn't count. That was not God's plan for him to be the father of many nations. But finally, miraculously, when Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90, they had a baby. Named him Isaac. Laughter. Look who's laughing now. And as time passed, Isaac grew up. He became 40 years old, and his dad figured it was time. It was time for him to get married, and Isaac hadn't found a girl yet, and so Abraham figured that he would intervene and help this process out. When Isaac eventually will meet this girl that we're going to talk about, I don't know how he relates the story, his family of origin story, to her. When I do premarital counseling, one of the things that I walk couples through is family of origin. Your mom and dad, what was your dad like? What was your mom like? And hear the stories. How do you talk about your parents? How does Isaac talk about his mom and his dad? I'm a miracle. Yes, dear, every baby's a miracle. Yeah, but you don't understand. You see, my parents, you're not going to think that they are my parents. You're going to think they're my great-great-grandparents. No, that's mom and dad. How do you tell the girl? Now listen, if we ever have kids, we need to keep the knives away from grandpa. Because let me tell you what happened when I was 8 days old. My dad got a sharp knife. Well, in fact, when I was a teenager, my dad said, "Let's go for a hike up Mount Moriah." And so up we went, and dad had a knife. So So let's keep the knives away from Grandpa. But there would be such a pressure on this girl to have kids. Isaac would say he's the son of the promise. It would be through him that God's blessing would extend to all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. How do you tell the girl, I'm the guy? You know, this promise to my dad, I'm the guy. I don't know how it unfolds for Isaac to talk to this girl. And in fact, he doesn't even just meet her. He didn't just kind of happen upon her. God picked her. But when God picked her, he didn't tell her the whole story. She does not know this whole family of origin thing. She doesn't know what's going on. Do you ever feel like that? That God picks you and he hasn't told you the whole story about his plan and his path for your life? Do you ever say yes to God to only find out that he's only told you part of the story? Hey, Joseph, your brothers are going to bow down to you. All right. Hey, guys, guess what? I got good news. Get down. Yeah, he didn't tell him the whole story. How could Joseph even fathom that he would be in Egypt? and the prison and the betrayal, all of that, God didn't tell him the whole story. God didn't tell this girl the whole backstory about her in-laws. Let's meet her together. If you have your Bibles, chapter 24 of the book of Genesis. If you have the Cornerstone app, the scriptures are listed there. We're going to put them on the screen as well. Perhaps your Bible, the pericope at the top, would say a bride for Isaac. So here's the story, and we're going to walk through these 67, we're just going to walk through the verses, and then I'm going to make a couple comments. We're going to pray. Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all that he had, "Please put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear." This moment, we'll see it later. With Jacob, put your hand under my thighs. Raise your right hand and swear. Put your hand over your heart. This was also a sign of submission to this servant to Abraham. There's other things that may be at play about the covenant and circumcision, all the sign of the covenant. But suffice it to say, this is the solemn pledge. And swear to me. Verse 3. I'll make you swear by the Lord God of heaven and God of earth that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. You shall go to my country, to my family, and take a wife for my son Isaac. Verse 5 says, and the servant said to him, perhaps this woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came? But Abraham said to him, beware that you do not take my son back there. Listen, there's no plan B. Do not take my son back there. I'm not going to see God's promise fulfilled to me in my own way. I think there might be a note. See Hagar. There's no plan B. Do not take my son back there, because he promised me this land and this place. Verse 7, the Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your descendants I give this land, he will send his angel before you. You shall take a wife for my son there. That's faith. It's not just going to be you. God, it's faith. He will send his angel before you. Verse 8. If the woman's not willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. Only don't take my son back there. You just do your part. Do your part. Don't try and navigate everybody else's parts. What happens if she won't? What happens if they won't? You do your part. You be faithful to what? Isn't that true for us? We be faithful to what God's called us to do. Can't control all the circumstances. Verse 9. Servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him, saying concerning this matter. Verse 10. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels. How many? 10. And departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. Nahor was Abraham's brother, so he's in that region, city named after him, Abraham's brother. And he made his camels, how many? 10. Kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening time, the time when women go to draw the water. Where do you meet a nice girl? Just wander into this place. Like the humanity, the reality of the story. The lesson is not where the girls go to drink. Verse 12, then he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Verse 13, behold, I stand here by the well of water. The daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be when the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink. She says, drink, and I will also give your camels. How many? A drink. Let your servant that you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. And it happened before he had finished speaking. So you know, God hears our prayers even before we pray them. Didn't Psalm 139 talk about, even before the words are on my tongue, you know them, O God. And he's not even get the prayer to the amen part. That behold, Rebecca, I mean, the answer is already on the way when he prays. That behold, Rebekah, who was the son of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. Now, the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin. No man had known her. She's not a widow. And she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, please let me drink a little water from your pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. Verse 19 says, and when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels. 10. Until they have finished drinking. Then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. How many camels? 10. She drew water for this guy and for 10 camels. You know, I get choked when I gotta fill up the coffee machine with water, the Keurig, right? It's like, does nobody else know how to put water in this thing? And the way we do that is we've got a little dispenser on our fridge, and so we put in a little carafe and pour it in. It takes three to go in this thing. And she's drawing water for camels, and I think I got it hard done by. Remember I said she knows how to work? 10 camels. And the man, wondering at her, remained silent so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. He didn't meddle in it. He let her finish. He didn't circumvent things because he started to speak. That's a pretty good lesson too. Just let the plan of God unfold. So it was when the camels, 10 of them, had finished drinking, that the man took a golden nose ring weighing half a shekel and two bracelets for her wrists weighing 10 shekels of gold. She must have thought, this is pretty generous. I guess I gave water for this guy. I gave water for all the camels. Pretty generous, pretty kind. Look at this. Remember, she does not know the story. And he says in verse 23, whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge? So she said to him, I'm the daughter of Bethuel, Milcah's son, and whom she bore to Nahor. Moreover, she said to him, we have both straw and feed enough to room to lodge. Come on, we got a big place. Then the man bowed his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me, and look at this phrase, being on the way, the Lord led me. I was just doing what I knew to do. I was on the way and the Lord led us. Sometimes we just need to step out and do what we believe God's called us to do, and he will lead us. He wasn't saying I was led before I stepped out, before I saw the whole pathway. Being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Verse 28, the young woman ran and told her mother's household these things. Her dad has passed away. Now Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban, and Laban ran out to the man by the well, and so it came to pass. Now watch what he sees, watch what he notices. When he saw the nose ring, remember the gold? When he saw the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrists, when he heard the words of his sister Rebekah saying, thus the man spoke to me, so that he went to the man, and there he stood by the camels. 17 times in this story we see the word camel. And he said, come in. Oh, you blessed of the Lord. When he saw the, this guy's rich. Come on in. This is Laban. We're going to see that later in the weeks to come. For I've prepared a place, prepared the house and a place for your camels. Verse 32, then the man came into the house and unloaded the camels and provided straw and feed for the camels and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. Food was set before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told about my errand. His purpose was more important than eating. He's on a mission. So they said, speak on. And we're going to read this rest of the story, even though you've already read it, but we've already heard it. We're going to repeat it here because a couple of reasons. One, the Bible does. And two, they are hearing this for the first time. You're already in the know. I've already talked to you a little bit about Abraham and how this story is unfolded. This is unfolding for them, and they don't know it. I'm Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he's become great, and God has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold, male and female servants and camels and donkeys. And so Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old. We know that. They're hearing this. And and to him has given him all that he has. He is announcing, Abraham is loaded, and he's given everything to Isaac. And here I am. Now my master made me swear, I mean, think of Laban's attention right now. Isaac is loaded. Now my master made me swear, you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whom land I dwell, but you shall go to my father's house, my family, and take a wife for my son. And I said to my master, perhaps a woman will not follow me, but he said to me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with you and prosper you, and you shall take a wife from my father's take a wife for my son from my family and my father's house. I wonder what Rebecca was doing standing there thinking, huh? Wonder who it is. You know, like she doesn't know the story. You'll be clear from this oath. When you arrive among my family, and here they are. And if they will not give her to you, then you'll be released from my oath. And on this day, he's telling, and this is what happened. And this day I came to the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if you will now prosper the way in which I go, behold, I stand at the well of water. It shall come to pass when the virgin comes out to draw water, and I say to her, please give me a little water from your pitcher to drink. And she says to me, drink, and I will also draw for your camels also. Let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. Rebecca is hearing this. I bet that nose ring got heavy all of a sudden. And those bracelets, you know, are they heavy? Do you need to take them off? Before I had finished speaking, there was Rebecca coming out with her pitcher on her shoulder. She went down to the water and drew water. And I said to her, please let me drink. She made haste and put the pitcher down from her shoulder and said, drink, I will also give to your camels. Drink also. And I drank. And she gave the camels a drink. Then I asked her, and she said, whose daughter are you? I said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him. So I put a nose ring on her nose and bracelets on her wrist. And Rebecca has an aha moment. This wasn't payment for the water. This wasn't helping. This wasn't because of the camels needing a drink. This is bigger than me. This moment, God's picked Rebecca. Verse 48. And I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, who had led me in the way of truth to take the daughter of my master's brother for his son. Now, if you deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. If not, tell me, and I may turn to the right or left. If you're going to let her come with me, it's fantastic. If not, I need to know, because I'm on a mission. And Laban And Bethuel, her mom, answered and said, "The thing comes from the Lord. We cannot speak to you either good or bad." What a thing. They've got a testimony. How do you refute? This is what happened. God spoke to me then. I was praying. Everything just came to us. And they're just acknowledging this came from the Lord. We can't say it's good or bad. This is what's happened. "Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go, and let her be your master's son's wife as the Lord has spoken." And it came to pass, verse 52, when Abraham's servant heard these words, that he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Worshiping, thanking God all through here. Verse 53, "And then the servant brought out jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold, and clothing, gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious things to her brother, Laban, and to her mother. And he and the men who were with him ate and drank. They stayed all night. Then he rose in the morning and said, 'Send me away.' But her brother and her mother said, 'Let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10. After that, she may go.'" Sneaky Laban. We're going to see that later. "Oh, don't go right now. Hold off. Wait. There's still time. Stay a little longer." Who knows if he's looking for a little more increase. "And he said to them, 'Do not hinder me.'" This is a servant. "Do not hinder me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master." And they said, "Well, let's ask her. We will call the young woman and ask her personally." Verse 58, "They called Rebekah and said to her, 'Will you go with this man?' And she said, 'I will go.'" What a girl. "I will go." She doesn't know the whole story. She doesn't know the story like you know the story. "I will go." She hasn't met Isaac. Doesn't know about the son of the promise. Doesn't know all of this. Doesn't know about Abraham. Doesn't know about the covenant. "I'll go." So they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her. And listen to this blessing. When you think about the blessing of Abraham, that God spoke to him and make you the father of many nations. "O sister, may you become the mother of thousands and tens of thousands. And may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate him." The last few verses, 61 through 67, says this. "Then Rebekah and her maids arose and they rode on the camels." So, and followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. Now Isaac, here we are back home. Now Isaac came from the way of Beer Lahai Roy, for he dwelt in the south. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening. And there he lifted his eyes and looked, and there he saw what? The camels. The camels were coming. Rebekah lifted her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel. How many? No, only one. It's her camel. Verse 65. That was a lot of buildup for that line, wasn't it? Really? Yeah, that was a whole lot of... For she had said to the servant, "Who is this man walking the field to meet us?" The servant said, "It's my master." She took the veil, covered herself. Verse 66, the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. So now Isaac hears all of this story, what happened. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. He took Rebekah and she became his wife. And in this phrase, I'm just so grateful it shows up in the Bible. And he loved her. And he loved her. This was, in all the arranged marriages that have ever been, how God orchestrated this, and he loved her. God's grace in this moment, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted in the death of his mother. And that's where we meet Rebekah. That's where we meet this girl who is going to have incredible pressure to get married. How do you stand in that moment, somebody showing up and saying, "God showed me, God answered my prayer. You're the answer to prayer. All I did was give some camel some water." And yet in this whole story, we see 17 times God used these camels show up over and over again. All she did was this, and this was part of God's plan. She doesn't know the whole story. Just like us, we don't know our whole story. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know what a day holds. We don't We don't know so many things. All I did was. But we do know this, who holds our future. And that he is sovereign, and he knows the beginning of, he knows the end of a thing from the beginning. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first, the last. All I did was give a drink to some camels. And God brought me to a place to bless the whole world, to be part of his plan. And somehow I think, loved ones, all we need to do is rest in the sovereignty of God. That he has a plan, and when we don't understand it, everything can change in a day. And it wasn't this appearance, even so, though he said, your angel's going to go before you. It wasn't an appearance of an angel. It wasn't God parting the heavens. It wasn't a voice from heaven. It wasn't handwriting on a wall. It wasn't any of that. God confirmed his direction. She just went out and gave some camels a drink. And that's what God used in her calling, in her destiny. We're going to follow her story in the weeks that come a little bit. But I really felt like God wanted me to share with you the entirety of this chapter, of this story, that we would be able to just simply be settled in the sovereignty of God, of his plan. That all we need to do is be sensitive and obey. We do what we know to do. And when things are so confusing, the girl, there she is. All she did was go out to get the water. She wasn't even going out to give the camels a drink. All she did was go about daily life, went out. That's why she was there. This pattern, that's why she showed up. And there's a guy there. And there's this encounter. And it unfolds that Abraham would beget, would have Isaac, who would, with Rebekah, have Jacob and Esau. And the story just goes wild from there. But God brought her in the very normal part of her life to being part of his plan. Would you be released just to simply live your normal life sensitive to the Lord and trust that he will guide your steps and bring you into the fullness of his plan for you, just like he did for Rebecca? Let's pray. God, as we come to you this morning, we thank you for this story, this amazing and confusing story of how you lead us and how you led Rebecca and how you even used camels as a sign. Let it be the one who fills this pitcher and then gives me a drink and then gives all the camels a drink. God, you use that part of it. You answered the servant's prayer of what the sign would be. God, you orchestrated it all. So often we talk about the devil is in the details. God, we thank you that you are in the details. That you are so in the details of our lives. That every tear is collected in a bottle. The hairs of our head are numbered. God, you care about every detail. And when things are so confusing, God, we thank you that we don't know what a day holds. That everything can change in a moment. When we feel like we've been wandering or been lost or we've been so discouraged for so long, everything can change in just one moment, that you would bring us into the fulfillment of your plan and purpose for us. God, thank you that you're sovereign. Thank you that we weren't born 100 years ago. We're not born 100 years from now. God, right here, right now, you've got us in this place because we're part of your plan. For this world, we're part of your plan right now. God, even as John talked about going on that ridge and meeting Martin, God, it's that kind of thing. God, would you lead us, part of your plan, to have transforming encounters with people? God, lead us, we pray, as we rest in your sovereignty, in Jesus' name. We trust in you. We trust in you, God.
That's why I trust you. I saw you, Lord, and you heard.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.